Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton with another week's worth of inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Here's what's ahead.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to hear about a ministry that is sharing the gospel and building relationships by offering ongoing dental care.
I'm John Graham, and how do you navigate social media? Marty Duran, Manager of Social Media Strategies for Lifeway Christian Resources, joins us today on The Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we talk with a leader who says starting new Bible studies is the best way to reach people.
I'm Myrna Brown. He went halfway around the world, only to end up, in his eyes, a failure. How God used that mission trip in the life of singer-songwriter David Dunn.
Also today, international missions in Indonesia on our Missionary Moment. That's this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. The Rehoboth Baptist Association has found a way to provide dental care and the gospel with those in need of the services in their community. Let's get the story from Juliana Smoke, now on Life with Purpose Radio.
A group of Christians from the Rehoboth Baptist Association in Warner Robins, Georgia, saw a need to offer ongoing dental care, and by doing so, shared Jesus with those in need. Terry Horn is a clinic director for the Rehoboth Life Care Ministry, and she joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, Terry.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How did the Lord lead you all to begin the Rehoboth Life Care Ministry?
Well, there were a group of people in our association that saw the need in the community, and God placed it on their heart to fill this need.
Mm-hmm. And that need is ongoing preventative care.
Absolutely. We really like to consider ourselves a dental home for our patients. It's a place that they can always come and see some of the same doctors, same hygienists, and have continuum of care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see the same patients on a routine basis. Do you see this as giving you the ability to build relationships and trust in order to share the gospel?
Oh, most definitely. Most people are afraid when they come into the dentist's office. So when you see them over and over, they begin to trust you more. They begin to talk more. And then we're able to help them with a lot of the other resources that they may need in their life.
Mm-hmm. How do you introduce the gospel when you're offering dental care?
We have licensed counselors that come in, and they sit with each and every patient. They pray with them. They share the gospel with them.
And do you find people are more open to hear the gospel when you meet this need that they have?
Absolutely. People really shut down to hearing the gospel when they have pain in their life and needs in their life. But as soon as you take care of that need, they are much more receptive. They learn to trust you more also.
Oh, sure, sure. And all of your dental professionals are volunteers.
Every one of our dentists, with the exception of one, all have a private practice and work full-time in their private practice. All of the assistants work, and they do volunteer their time graciously.
Mm-hmm. And the services you all provide, these people would not be able to get it at all, right?
That is correct. When they come here, each patient goes through a financial screening, and we are able to reduce the fees anywhere from 50 to 95%, enabling them to be able to pay according to their own income level.
Mm-hmm. So if you weren't there, where would they be getting dental care?
Most of these people would either be using the emergency room just to get pain medication and antibiotics, or they will be doing nothing, sitting at home in pain or going around with no teeth.
Wow. Wow.
There's so many things that manifest itself in the mouth and systemic things that cause problems in the mouth. So when you're looking at the mouth, you can a lot of times see diabetes, beginning of heart issues, but then also even things like stress. Once you get to know a person and you know their habits and what their oral condition is, you can pretty much look in their mouth and tell what's going on in their life, how stressed out they are. Have they picked up any other bad habits? Are they doing things they shouldn't be doing because they are stressed out, or they have some other type of illness going on?
And I'm sure over the years you have seen lives changed.
Oh, yes. It has been just wonderful hearing the responses from the patients. I just had one person call me stating how happy she is that she has teeth. She could not afford to have any dental work done. She had teeth that were hurting, and she was missing some teeth. When she came to us, we were able to help her get dentures and extract the teeth that were hurting her. And she's just ecstatic. I can't even begin to express how happy this woman was that now she can go in public and smile and not be ashamed.
Wow. And Terry, you have a dental background. What does it mean to you to see the Lord use your training as a platform to share Jesus?
That has been amazing, to be able to reach people for Him. I never thought that I would ever have the opportunity to reach out to people through dental, that God always opens the doors, and we don't always know what He has planned for us, but it always works out for His glory.
You're absolutely right. Terry, how can we get more information on the Rehoboth Life Care Ministry?
They can look on the internet. It's careforlifeclinic.com.
We've been speaking with Terry Horn, Clinic Director for Rehoboth Life Care Ministry. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing how the Lord is using dental care as a platform to share the love of Jesus.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you having us.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer with help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thank you for listening and being a part each week of Life with Purpose Radio. How do you navigate social media when a cultural hot button has been pushed? Let's find out more from LifeWay's Marty Durham and John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Without question, social media like Facebook and Twitter is the new town hall. Other than selfies and pictures of the first day of school, when a cultural issue hits, opinions run rampant. And if your friends list is like mine, we're not all like-minded. Marty Duren is the manager of social media strategies for Lifeway Christian Resources, and he also runs a blog. A few of his posts recently have caught the attention of the Washington Post, and he's here with some thoughts on the matter. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks a lot for having me.
A recent blog entry of yours made me think to invite you to the show. Tell our listeners a little bit about that. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Probably it's the For God So Loved Caitlyn Jenner post that I wrote right after Bruce Jenner revealed himself as Caitlyn Jenner. And so my Facebook feed was blowing up with the majority of my friends in opposition to really anything that had to do with it. I think the ESPN announcement about the Courage Award was made about the same time.
Yeah.
The thing that caught my attention was what I would call the cruel references, talking about Caitlyn Jenner as an it. You don't know who you are, so I'm not going to dignify you with any kind of gender assignment.
Yeah.
I don't think that we gain anything by building walls between us and the people that we're trying to reach. The cross is the barrier, and any other barrier that we erect, either by attitude or action, is actually a hindrance to the gospel. It's a hindrance to the cross. And so as I watched this, I thought, you know, God loves Caitlyn Jenner just like He loves me, just like He loves Billy Graham or Ruth Graham or anybody else that we think of. I mean, this is a huge issue for us in our time, and we need to be really careful to address it well.
And it kind of got a lot of traction. Tell me a little bit about that process.
It was odd. Well, the first thing I noticed was an enormous number of shares on Facebook. A friend of mine, Ben, who knows someone at the Washington Post, said, hey, I think I want to send this over to my friend and see if they're interested in picking it up. And so that's how that came to pass. I think it probably was read about a million times It was all said and done.
Wow. What opportunities do you think lie out there for us as believers to communicate with culture through social media?
I think they're unlimited. You strive to engage people and to host conversations rather than just, you know, preaching a sermon or condemning. I think wisdom dictates that Christians be involved in the social media space and just be involved in it well.
What kind of mistakes do you see Christians making in this area?
I think the biggest mistakes are in tone. When everything is a condemnation, or when we accidentally equate all of our theology with political positions, I think we're making crucial mistakes. If everything that I do on social media is Jesus and the Republican Party, then by default, I'm going to be turning off my friends or my future friends or potential friends who aren't Republicans but have an interest in Jesus. If they see that being with Jesus means being with whatever the recent presidential candidate is for the Republicans.
Yeah.
And the converse is true.
And I saw so many of my friends that said, this is what I think, and if you disagree, well, you can just defriend me. And I thought, you wouldn't say that to somebody if you were having a discussion in a restaurant.
You know, nobody ever says, well, I love Jesus and he saved my soul, and if you don't think so, then just unfriend me. I see some who claim to be believers whose passion for their politics far outstrips their passion for the gospel. I think we really have to take the approach of Christ where we open ourselves up to be criticized for being friends with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to win every single argument. I don't even have to finish every single discussion that we have. But I want to make sure that in every discussion that I don't do anything or say anything that would give him the idea that, oh, well, okay, here's just another lousy Christian who doesn't live up to what he preaches, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Just a little bit of clarity in what we do will help us, I think, in our representation of the gospel.
Well, Marty, how can folks follow your blog?
It's just my name. It's Marty Duren, MartyDuren.com. And they can subscribe via email or just typical RSS feed, either one.
Great. Well, some great tips, and thank you so much for what you're doing with Lifeway, and whether you realize it or not, making quite an impact.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
All right. Till next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Every week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we'd like to see you encouraged to live your life with purpose as you hear our stories. And if you would, take just a moment and send us your comments and questions to today's program by emailing us stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And why not become a part of our community online? It's easy. Just go to facebook.com/LWP Radio or follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio. And did someone say free book? Well, thanks for asking. You can go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook and get the hardback devotional called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And again, yes, the book is free at lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's just our way of saying thanks for being a listener to the program. Well, let's get back to our stories. Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. He went halfway around the world only to end up, in his eyes, a failure. How God used that mission trip in the life of singer-songwriter David Dunn.
All right, still to come, a call to prayer for the people of Indonesia to hear about the one true God and the message of Jesus Christ on our missionary moments. Before all of that, let's go to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of New Groups.
Of all the ministries of the church, engaging people in ongoing Bible study is the best way to make and develop disciples. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a leader who encourages churches to always be starting new Bible study groups. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to be in the studio today with Jonathan Jordan, one of our finest Georgia Baptist State missionaries. Jonathan is part of the Sunday School and Small Groups ministry staff, and his primary responsibilities are related to using small groups in the local church. Jonathan, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White. Great to be here today.
Today, as the new church year approaches for most of our churches, I want our listeners to hear about the importance of starting new Sunday school classes and new small groups. It's really very important to not only the growth of the Sunday school, but also the growth of the entire congregation. Would you just please share with us a little bit, first of all, about your own background and your calling to ministry of Christian education?
I'd be glad to. One of my greatest experiences was growing up in a church with a strong Sunday school. My dad was Sunday school superintendent. We don't hear that phrase a whole lot, but he was the director of Sunday school and worked closely with the minister of education. And I just learned through him working there and serving in the church, the emphasis on Sunday school or groups, people learning the Bible together in small groups. I was very involved throughout the youth group and church, and I knew God was kind of moving me to the ministry of Christian education. And after a short time of running a little bit, I did what God wanted me to do, serve others through the education ministry of the church.
You know, Jonathan, when we think about Sunday school, some people want to try different terms to identify Bible study on Sunday mornings. I love the term Sunday school. Sunday school started back in the 1800s. So many of our churches grew through Sunday school, and we saw incredible transformations in the early part of the 20th century. One of the driving principles was always to be striving to start new classes or small groups. I wonder if you could tell our listeners about the importance of starting new Bible study groups in our churches today. And I don't know, you may want to say a word about Sunday school.
I will. We know that much of the ministry that comes through the church comes through those classes, those groups, those Sunday schools. We do hear many different names: grace groups, Sunday school, life groups, Bible study groups, and small groups. But Dr. White, many of those principles are the same and go back to its early beginnings of getting people around the Bible and helping them become followers of Jesus Christ. Those groups are functional in the church, they serve in the church, and they carry out much of the ministry that goes on in the church. And starting new groups brings that vitality. We know that new groups reach more people. We know that new groups start new groups. And so for many churches, the high hurdle is really just starting a new group. But we like to emphasize new groups of any kind, whether it be small groups, Sunday school, because it reaches more people. And we know that for fact. And that helps change lives for Christ. And that's the goal for us.
You know, churches are to be about evangelism and ministry to individuals, and there's really no greater way, I think, to reach people with the gospel and care for individual needs than through the Sunday school and small groups. And I wonder if you could tell our listeners about how you've seen this principle at work in maybe a particular church that you've worked with.
One church in particular, it was just the act of actually starting one group. The Sunday school had been pretty stagnant. Talking with the leader and the pastor, they were convinced no matter what, they were going to start a new group. Many times churches don't want to start new groups because they don't have people for the new group, but you kind of get in a cyclical pattern of, well, you won't have any new people until you start new groups. So they have started that new group, and people came. Different people came, and they were encouraged. And so really part of it is just breaking that mold of starting one new group and having that goal that you're going to start one for the fall or maybe one in January, and help people understand there is a missionary emphasis of reaching other people evangelistically for Christ. As much as we like to believe that people want to cocoon and pull back, but they want friends. They want to have community with people, and we can introduce the Bible in there and help them do life together, which is almost cliche, but it is important. And so starting one new class for the fall can propel your Sunday school or your groups in reaching other people for Christ.
You know, as a pastor, I've always known of the importance of the worship experience, and of course of the preaching event. Preaching the gospel is so vitally important on Sunday morning, but I've been concerned that there's been a shift of focus from Sunday school solely to the worship service. I think it takes Sunday school and worship service together to make a church as strong as it can be. And a de-emphasis upon Sunday school, I think, is a great mistake, because so much of what happens in Sunday school is evangelism, where people are contacted by the Sunday school class, they're engaged in Bible study, they come to know the love of Christ through seeing Him and the people who participate in the Sunday school class, and often will come out of a Sunday school class to make a public profession of faith in the worship service and follow Christ in baptism. I just want our people to understand the importance of Sunday school and small groups on Sunday morning and how it helps to strengthen and supplement everything that happens in the worship hour. I wonder if you could talk to us just a moment about resources that are available to churches that would like to strengthen their Sunday school and small group ministries.
We do have resources, many of them online. GABaptistGroups.org has resources for classes. GABaptist.org has an e-store through the convention, and all our resources are there. We have videos that we put out at least once a month. We put the PowerPoints, we put the listening guides. They're free through Cooperative Program Giving. We're able to give that, and many people email us and ask us, when's the next video? And so those resources, along with other kits, are available online.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I've been visiting today with Jonathan Jordan, who serves in Sunday school and small groups here with the Georgia Baptist Convention. We're very grateful for the emphasis that you all have on starting small groups in the local church. Thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
For more information on the Sunday School and Small Groups Ministry of Georgia Baptist, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Missions, music, engineering, and Africa. How does it all fit together in the life of singer-songwriter David Dunn? Well, Myrna Brown pulls the story together now on Life with Purpose Radio. When the heart
heartache and the headaches. Take my breath away when the sunshine and the moonlight burn my skin.
David Dunn was headed for a career in engineering in Lubbock, Texas, but his passion for music was undeniable. Well, it's obvious which path he chose, and he's here today to chat about his debut project on a national stage. It's called Crystal Clear. Welcome, David Dunn. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So your senior year of college, you did two things. You recorded some songs, and then you headed to Africa on a mission trip. And I got to tell you, two of my favorite things, by the way. Tell us what you did. And where did you go? You were there for 13 months.
So I went to Zambia, and I was doing mission work in microfinancing, which is basically like small-scale loans to try and end the poverty cycle.
Mm-hmm. What led to you taking that trip?
And there's been about two or three different times in my life to where it was relatively undeniable that the Lord was telling me to do something specific, and this happened to be one of them.
I want to drill down just a little bit more. How does God speak to you and tell you to go to Africa? I mean, halfway around the world.
I know. So what it looked like to me, and here's how I'm positive that the Lord was telling me to do that, is in all of the scenarios to where God is specifically asking me to do something, it is always, first off, something that I don't want to do. Because the things that I do want to do, I don't need a whole lot of prodding. You know, there was some direct guidance, I think, from hanging with God and spending time with Him. It's a little bit longer story than that, but that's the short version.
And still headed toward engineering, right?
I really didn't know at that point. I was kind of playing with the idea of doing music because I loved it, mm-hmm. and because I thought it was valuable, and also engineering was on the table, which I actually really enjoy. I'm a petroleum engineer by degree.
Wow.
And so really Africa was like a staying point where I didn't actually have to make the decision for a year. It was something completely different that I wasn't expecting.
When you're in Africa, are you able to use engineering? Are you able to use your singing? I mean,
I was trying to start this financial business to help support this ministry that was there. I was going over to start this microfinancing thing to create an engine that kept kicking money back to this ministry that was over there. It was doing Bible training and building clinics and roads and bridges and doing a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And these donors in America were trying to perpetuate some financing for them, so that was kind of the initial idea.
Okay.
I had no idea if I had done any good for Africa, but Africa had done a ton of good for me.
How so?
I think the lesson of learning how to fail and dealing with failure is something that has been instrumental in my growth as a musician, as a person. It kind of looks like a lot of times that artists pop up overnight sensations, but in general, there's no such thing. It's 5 years of begging people to play your music and to pay attention to what you're doing, and most of the time they go, not really. And it's difficult to swallow that. As far as music goes, I think that was a big lesson I learned, and in life in general, is being okay with what I'm trying to do not working out. That's sort of the mantra of following Christ, is here are my plans, and I'm going to try after them, and if they're not in line with what the Lord is planning, it's for me especially, it's really a difficult pill to swallow when what I'm planning really just kind of goes up in smoke.
I am looking for signs, searching for directions. I've been trying to drive from the passenger side for ages, waiting to find the answers to the questions, wishing that I you were thinking. I just wanna know why it can't be easy. So what do I do when I don't know what to do?
When you got back, you pursued music wholeheartedly. Let's talk about this latest project, Crystal Clear.
The main theme of the record is this. There's all of these things that happen to us, these trials, these James 1 things. And most of us ask this question. We shake our fist and go, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why is this terrible thing going on in my life? Which is a legitimate question. And, you know, spoiler alert, if you listen to the record, I don't know the answer to that question. I have no idea why God does what he does.
Right.
But the one thing that I do know is that regardless of what's happening,
that his love is always crystal clear. Mm. He always wants the best and always is working things out to our good. His love is always crystal clear. That's my answer to the question of why.
I like that answer. And I like the new project, and I've enjoyed having you on our show, Life with Purpose Radio. David Dunn, thank you so much. The new project is crystal clear.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Rona Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Indonesia here on Life with Purpose Radio.
Indonesians are called to their knees five times a day. Adhering to their various religions, they kneel before their various gods. Thousands kneel in the villages, tens of thousands in the cities, and millions kneel across the nation. How can this nation be reached when it is so tightly bound by religions that cannot save? We must pray. Because the sight of any nation with multitudes of people bowing to unsaving gods should bring God's people to their knees weeping. God says whoever continuously goes out weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, will return bringing the harvest with him. And for those who cannot sow, Ezekiel says God is looking for men who will pray for the nations. May we not be left standing while so many are kneeling.
For more information about international and North American missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about Rehoboth Life Care Ministry, Lifeway Social Media Strategies, David Dunn, and International Missions in Indonesia. Well, join us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And go to lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.